and Baptist. It's good to hear you quote the word of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Eternal Father, I understand that I am insufficient in myself. I know that without you helping me, I will blab. And without you helping everybody seated here, we would have wasted our time. And so we are honestly asking that you will help us, that these few minutes we'll be spending together, please make it worth the while. Please send help. Please send your Holy Spirit to assist us. Send angels to help us. Open our hearts. Open our ears, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Grant accuracy. Grant options in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. This morning, I want to talk on something we are very familiar with. Friendship. Friendship. I want some weeks back, I think Pastor mentioned it in passing. While we were having ASA, a number of people signified their intention to be part of this movement, because there is no way you can mentor anybody within the space of the few hours we spent on Saturday and Sunday. You understand? But probably maybe because we have not really invited them, or I don't know, we are hoping that some of them will be joining. But really, life is all about consistency, like my sister said. And so this morning, one of the things that will help us to succeed in this vehicle of life is friendship. Friendship. The way God has designed human beings, mankind, is in such a way that we cannot succeed on our own. We cannot succeed in isolation. We are created to be relational beings, to relate with one another. I don't know your theories. I don't know your school of thought. And I want to believe that there is nobody here that believes that we came from apes. You understand that? Big Bang theory. You understand? I want to believe that you know that God created us. And we are the last thing that He created, if I can use the word thing. He created us on the sixth day. And when He created us, He created only Adam. Is that not it? From the book of Genesis chapter 2. And for everything God created, God kept saying, and He looked at them, it was good. He looked at them, it was good. He was pronouncing excellent, good on everything He has created, until He got to man and He created Adam. And it was beautiful. So after all, He did it in His own image, after His own likeness. That was His intention, that this is what I want to create. But on the long run, in Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good. And so the first time God will say it is not good was when He realized that this man was in isolation. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so God never intended human beings to be alone. Are we together? As He said it Himself. And so the idea of friendship emanated from the beginning, from God Himself. And He knew that all those animals, the elephants, the goats, the lion, the snakes, they cannot be a companion for Adam. That He said, I will make an help suitable for him. And so He created a relationship for Adam. And He went to the highest of relationship, which was marriage. You understand? But ever since that time, man has come to understand that we cannot survive in isolation. But unfortunately, it was not only man and God that knows that man cannot survive in isolation. Even the devil knows. By chapter 3, the devil has come. He understood that this thing called man that God has created cannot survive without talking to another person, without relating to another person. And so he came, the devil himself came in the life of serpent. And if you are a good Bible student, you know that serpent was not crawling on his chest at that time. Chances are that before man fell, animals were talking with Adam was talking with animals, and they were responding. Because how can you explain that serpent was talking to Eve, and Eve was not taken aback? What's going on? You're talking. You know, if I should see a goat now that is saying, hey, Titi, how are you? Are you coming from Kerry? I would be like, because it doesn't happen. But the Bible did not say, he said, hey, you're talking. It's a norm. It's normal for them to talk and to respond. So it was nothing funny for Eve to see that serpent was talking. And so the serpent, and it was walking on two legs. It was as a result of the curse that was placed on him that made him to be crawling. You understand? And the Bible says he is the wisest of all animals. That is, other animals too has wisdom. You understand? But before devil came, there are different degrees of wisdom that God placed in different animals. You see one animal that will lay just one egg. Very tall bird like that. Who knows it? The guy will lay here and he will put it on the mountain. And it's unprotected. I have forgotten the name of this very big bird. They say it has very, very small brain in its core. You understand? And yet you will see chicken, like you said, that they will lay their eggs. They will sit on it for about 21 whatever days to hatch it. And when they hatch it, they are protecting those things. And because they have better brain than that big animal. And yet you will see even cockroaches, as we have some in my kitchen. Each time when I want to kill this thing, I'm like, this thing, get wisdom with that. The rate at which some of these small, small cockroaches are white. Some human beings are not white like that. I'm sorry to say. Because the rate they run for their life, if some girls are running for their life, some guys like that, they will not be taken as prey before those guys. You understand? This cockroach, they will do like they have died. They will stay in one point. You will think it's a dead one. Then when you are about to, they will not stop, and they will run to edges. Where your hand may not be able to catch, and it's wisdom that God in his infinite wisdom has put in those animals for their own protection, you understand? And so the serpent came in chapter 3 and was speaking with Eve, because he understand that Eve needed somebody to talk with. But from the very beginning, friendship failed, you understand? Because if Adam was there, as in, was part of that discussion, probably it's not as ended the way it has ended. Are we together? So I'm sorry to say that we are created as relational beings. Let's not deceive ourselves. You see some people, they are like snobs. They don't talk to you. You don't talk to them. They don't greet. It's a lie. They are actually crying for attention. They are saying that I need help. Please help me. And so we are relational beings. God knows it. The devil knows it. And we have that grace in us to be one to relate with other people. And so it's important for us to understand, how do I go about friendship? Because when you don't know, you are going to end up badly. Matter of fact is, you are where you are today by the reasons of the relationship you have had up to this point. And that relationship can be with your mom, with your dad, and with your colleagues, or with your siblings. And so I just want to give us 5 essential nuggets about friendship. 5 essential nuggets about friendship. Number one is that, having understood that friendship is important and that God knows about it, the devil also knows about it, you must now know how to choose your friends very wisely. You must be the one that is choosing your friends and not the other way around. Amen. You are to choose your friends and not the other, because friendship could be a great asset and it could be a terrible liability. Friends could be great assets and they could be great or terrible liability. What do I mean when I say you choose your friends and they don't choose you? You determine who your friends will be and not the other way around. Because in this world, everybody is being bullied or is being pressured into doing one thing or the other, whether you realize it or not. From class 1 to the day you will die, you are in one way being influenced by the people around you. And so from the beginning, one of the first things we said we are going to teach our children when they start going to the university is this matter of friendship. And I have already started. And one thing that they should know from first day they will be getting admission, entering into that school, is that learn to walk alone. Waka alone, like my people will call it. You understand? Learn to walk alone. Because before you can say, oh, when we come here for Cash Dem Young, you understand, we'll sit under one of those lovers' bench and we see a lot of things happening. Hardly will you see, Benny's, we can bear me witness, she was in this one we did last time. Hardly will you see a new, what do you call them? A fresher that walks alone. Not because they don't want to, but they are afraid. They want to belong, you understand? And chances are that the person they are lynching we on or they are moving with is not the best of friends for them. And so I'm saying that you determine who your friends will be and not the other. So when people come to you and they say, Isaac, please, let's go to that place together. If it is okay by you, you go. But that doesn't make that person your friend. You understand? So people can come to you and want to be your friend. But if they don't fall into the category of the people that should be your friend, my dear, please run. I want us to take our text from 2 Samuel chapter 13. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 13. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to really help me to be able to express what he has put in my heart concerning this matter of friendship. Because your friends can either make you or mar you. 2 Samuel chapter 13. I said 2 Samuel. Why are we not there? Verse 1. Good, thank you. Please, who can read this for me?
Now,
yes.
David's son Absalom had a sister named Amnon, and her brother fell
desperately in love with her. Please, are we familiar with this story? You heard this story before. We know the story of Absalom. The story of Tamar. Who do we have here? As in those that used to come for adorables. We have looked into this story before. But we are not picking it from Tamar's angle today. We are picking it from friendship angle. So we have David. David was the king. Was the sitting king at that time over Israel. He has a son called Absalom. And this Absalom has a sister called Tamar. And Tamar also have a half-brother called Amnon. And this Amnon now fed desperately in love with who? With his half-sister. Please, before you start judging Amnon, at this time in the land of Israel, falling in love with your half-sister is not a sin. It is your own full sister that you are not permitted to fall. He can actually marry her, you understand, as in by law. Abraham married his own half-sister. Isaac too married his relative, you understand. You shall know that. I think they are supposed to be like cousins. You understand? So this one, their half sister. And if you read the story down, you realize that the lady was telling him, don't be stupid. Ask our dad. He will give me in marriage to you. You don't need to do this. And so if he has gone about it in the right way, but right now, please don't come and quote 2 Samuel 13 to me that you want to marry your half sister. Right now, it is a sin. If I'm not just your half sister, your cousin, anybody that is related to you, you're not supposed to have anything to do with them. Then go to verse 2. Please, let's be fast, treasure. Verse 2. Please, read for me.
Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin. Amnon thought he could never have
a heir. Praise God. You see, most of the time, this is not where I'm going, but permit me to digress into it. When you are sick because of a girl, it is not normal sickness. Just snap out of it. And when you see a guy that is falling head over heels for you, look very well. It will not be real serious falling, you understand? It may be because you are a virgin and he wants to have you. You understand what I'm saying? Some years back, there is this particular man that came to my father's house. He was actually employed as my private teacher to come and be teaching me in the house. And because he has been so trusted and is a little bit elderly, he was doing his ICAN exam at that time. He's at the final stage. By the time he finished that particular paper, he will be called a chartered accountant. And so he used to come to our house to take. But every now and then, my parent didn't know about it. He will be telling me how much he lost me. How much God has told him that I am the right person for him to marry. He will be sharing experiences of the dreams he has had from God with me. How when he was fetching water, all of a sudden, please don't laugh, this is what he told me. All of a sudden, I will just come there and I will help and the water will come up. How when he will be going under rain or sun, then I will come with umbrella. That thing was confirmed over and over to him. At a point, he was almost pressuring me into saying yes. He was so sure that it was God that was telling him. Then one day, he now came after the whole teaching stuff. He knelt down when I saw an able-bodied man, as in that is my brother's, big brother's friend, kneeling down and crying. And this one, it's not like I felt it was like water was dripping out of his eyes like this. It was like if I didn't say yes, he would fail that ICAN exam. If I didn't say yes, his life would not be okay. I'm not like, what can I? I was like, sir, please don't cry. I didn't want him to cry. I felt like so that he would not feel so bad like that, I should say yes. But I had no conviction in myself, number one. Number two, if I should go with that story to go and meet my brother, before they would listen to me, the way they would beat me, that you have not even passed your jam to gain admission to university. You are, they employ private teacher for you so that you can pass. Instead of writing the exam, you are not falling in love with it. So I'm like, how will I even present this beautiful idea to my brothers and without them beating me to coma? You understand? But when you read this story, you will understand how men can be so much of a drama king. I'm sorry for the men in the house. Because eventually, in less than 3 months, I gained admission and I went to the school. And after first time or first semester, I came back home. The God that spoke to this brother has moved on and has spoken something else to him, and he has gotten another sister. And so I told her, I said, sir, you are almost done with everything called school. Just permit me to gain admission. That if you can wait for me, that when I come, then we'll continue. Hey, even if it takes me 5 years, he will wait for me. I'm like, oh, somebody is waiting for me. And I went. And just one semester, I came back. And I learned that my bros has moved. And my curiosity will not just make me keep quiet. I just went to that church. I said, I'm looking for brother Sosa. And they called. I said, bro, I said, you said 5 years. You could not even wait for 5 months. That I just gained admission. And I learned that the Spirit of God has led it to Sister Sosa. And I know that lady. I made mockery of him that day. I left. And I went for my second semester. By the time I came back, I learned that the Spirit of God has moved again from that sister to another sister. And I still went back again to meet him. I said, Eri, the way the Spirit of God is moving you, the Spirit of God is working powers in your life. And he has forgotten how he knelt down in our living room, crying, red eyes, bulging out, and everything. And so, I've not become so obsessed. Most of what you call love could be obsession, you understand, with Tamar, that it became healed. She was a virgin and had no thought he could never have her. I'm not coming to verse 1 and verse 3. Where I'm going to actually stretch is verse 3. Please, really give us verse 3. That's where I'm going to. Somebody read this for me. Help me push this thing back to where it was before now. Verse 3, please.
But Amnon had a very crafty
friend.
His cousin took Nadab. He was the son of David's brother.
God bless you. Let's leave it here for some time. If you check the dictionary and you ask them that what is the meaning of friends or friendship, they will tell you that a friend is somebody outside your family, other than your father, your mother, your spouse, or what have you. It's not true. You understand? It's not every dictionary meaning that is correct, at least in this our home palace. And so, this friend, you know, the Bible says it's a friend, but it's actually a cousin to Amnon. You understand? When they say that, we are students here now. He was the son of David's brother. You understand? Shimei. That is, this Jonadab and Amnon, they were cousins. But they said they are friends. But they are not just ordinary friends. He's a crafty friend. If you read it in different versions, they said, is that craftiness? What? He's a cunning friend. Another place we like, is like that serpent that went to Eve in chapter. He's very crafty. Very wise, very subtle. And so he asked the friend. They were friends. Praise God. And so I'm saying that you should choose your friend very wisely. You understand? Friendship could be an asset and it could be a liability. For Amnon, the friend he chose or the friend he had was a great liability to him. That 2 years after this friend gave this advice to Amnon, Amnon has to die. Not because God killed him, but because his dick killed him. Because he listened to what this crafty friend has to say to him. Are we together? And so, friend could be a great asset or it could be a terrible liability. It is your responsibility to choose who your friend will be and not the other way around. I can tell you that this person is my friend. You understand? But they may think we are friends, but I know we are not. We are just working together. You understand? Well, we'll soon get there because it leads me closely to the second one. That is, you must define every relationship. You must define every relationship. What do I mean? If you are to choose your friend and they're not choosing you, then every relationship must be well defined. If I used to tell my children that you are in the same class together, doesn't mean they are your friend. It only means they are your classmates. You understand? And so we have course mates. We have classmates. We can have bunk mates. We can have roommates. We can have church members. We can have fellowship members. You understand? We can have so many mates like that. It doesn't make us friends. You understand? A friend is somebody I can share my life with. A friend is somebody that can share if our life too with me. And it will lead me straight to the next one. That a friend is somebody that shares the same value with me. And so third thing is that you must know your value. You understand? If you don't know your values, you will not know how to pitch your tent with someone else. Are we together? And so if you don't have any value in yourself, you will not be able to even define who a friend is. You understand? Some people, if you ask them, who is that person? They say, before you can back the qualification of me calling you my friend, you will try it. Because somebody once said that when you have plenty of friends, it shows that you don't have any value in yourself. You can have people you love. You can have people you care for. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are your friend. The Bible even encourages us to love everybody. You understand? You are not supposed to hate anyone. But that you are loving everybody doesn't mean that they are your friend. No! Before you can say, this person is my friend, it means you are sharing the same value together. And so there is this particular girl in my boys' school that he has been calling her his friend. You understand? But one particular day, she said something and he came home to tell us that even, I don't want to mention her name, so person said this. I said, what does that suggest to you? He was looking at her. I said, think very well. What does it suggest to you? He said, it means that she's not my friend again. Yes. And I quickly stamped it. Because for a long time, because as a parent, we are always encouraging them to want to know who their friends are. What do you do in school? And so I realized that he's getting close to this particular girl. And I liked it, you understand? I like the fact that they can relate. But at the same time, I want to know her values. And so when it came to exam period and they were cheating, I asked, is this particular person too cheating? I said, yes, very freely. And they asked a question that, can you marry so-so-so? Said, me, I can marry anybody that if I see a conk Muslim that can even carry what they say they carry from Nigeria, I will marry. I said, hey, that means he has told you her values. You understand? See, get me right. See, there are some Christians that go to church that you cannot say they are your friend. They are just your church members because they don't have the same values like you. Are we together? And so the question is, do you have values? Do you even know your values? Where are you picking your values from? What is your value based on? You understand? Are you a valueless human being? In the sense that if you don't stand for something, the English people say you will fall for anything. And if the purpose of something is not known, abuse is inevitable. Is that not it? And so if you don't know your value as a person, then if somebody walks up to you, you can easily walk with that person. And yet you are not supposed to resonate on the same frequency. But because you don't even know who you are. So knowing your value boils down to knowing your identity first and foremost. That who am I? What do I stand for? Can I also walk on the same pedestal with this person that stands for this same thing? And it will take some time before you can. And that's why we say that one thing we will tell my children when they gain admission is that don't seek friendship in the first 2-3 weeks of your admission into that school. Learn to walk alone. You understand? Because it is in the bid of trying to lean on people that you will enter into a wrong time. That, oh, let's go and eat together. Let's go and do this. No, learn to ask questions. Please, where is the cafeteria? You have known that place. Please, where is the chapel? You don't need to be moving around. See, we have been here severally, and we realize that when you want to reach out to people, it's best you do it when that person is alone. It was because Eve was alone that was why Satan could easily get him. But even if what God that wants to get at, when people are flocking together like that, you can't gain their attention easily because they are rubbing on themselves. You carry one spirit, she carry another spirit. By the time you put your spirit together, it's a conglomerate of spirits. It's not easy to penetrate. And so I have experienced it several times. I will sit like this and I'll see two of them. They are doing like husband and wife, you understand? I will not be able to talk to them. But by the time one of them stands up, probably to go and do something, and I say, how are you? This one will pay me full attention, you understand? Chances are that God could have arrested that person before the other party comes along, you understand? And so, except when God is directly instructing you, you take people one by one. And so, even when God wants to pour something into your lap, and you're already pitching your tent with the wrong person, God will not be able to take your attention, to get your attention, you understand? And so before you are dependent, before you become too mingled with someone, learn to stand on your own feet so that they will not bully you. Bully is not just that somebody is beating you. Bully is they won't be your friend again. They will want to pressurize you, you understand what I'm saying? See, whether you people want to agree with it or not, if at this stage of mine, I feel it, I feel the void. When I first came to Ghana, you know, majority of you, except for probably Joy, may not really understand it. But all my life, I've never knew that I can feel so lonely. You understand? Because where I'm coming from, it's not like I'm a credit. People come to our house by reason of what we do, you understand? But it doesn't mean that all of them are my friends. They are my church members, you understand? They are my disciples, you understand what I'm saying? They are whatever they want to do. But we are never in lack of people. You understand? I'm always busy moving from one meeting to another. Eventually, when we come together, when I'm at home, it's supposed to be a time when I'll be resting. But when we now move to Ghana, I realize that nobody can knock on my door and say they are looking for me. They don't know us, you understand? And the culture here does not even prioritize. And so, me too, I don't know anybody's house that I will knock to and say I'm. And so, I became so desperate for friends. I was asking God, God, I need friends. And so I couldn't get, as in, and I'm married. My husband is there. Not knowing that he's suffering from the same thing. He too needed companion. He needed people to share burdens with. As in, a number of these things he may not really understand. Apart from the fact that at times I'll be inside trouble, I want to get down. I don't even know the right thing to say. As in, I'll be saying that I'm okay here. I want to get down here. And the thing will continue. So I'm like, what am I supposed to? I'm supposed to say what? Eh? Mate, yeah, what do you call it? Eh? Not bad stuff. If you want to stop. Eh? Say it now. Eh, I'm supposed to say something like that. One of those things. I just say, oh, why? I want to get down. Praise God. And so, you are open to a lot of things when you get to a new environment. People that are in that environment before you, they may not feel what you are feeling. And so there is desperation, there is loneliness, even though you could be amidst people, there is, what do I call it? And so if care is not taken, I will enter into a wrong hand, even as a married woman. Let alone you, that you are not married, do you understand? That you don't have any husband to do. And so at that time, I was calling some of my people from Nigeria so that we can talk to them. But they can't feel me. They didn't really get my pain. They have never been there. You understand? At times when they are online, we can't talk. So until I got my solution, that my solution, if time permits, I will share it with you today. And so I said first and foremost that friendship could be a great asset or a terrible liability. The need for you to choose very carefully, to tread very cautiously. There was a man in the Bible. I didn't want you to open it. In the book of Mark chapter 2, he had four friends. But this man was crippled in both legs. But the friends learned that Jesus was ministering at a particular point. And because they were assets to their friend, the Bible says that they carried their friend to where Jesus was ministering so that Jesus can heal the man. But unfortunately, the whole place was crowded. There is no way they could gain access. And this man cannot walk. He cannot even get there to meet Jesus. Please, come and heal my. They said they opened the roof. You know the kind of roof they were using in those times. They opened the roof and they put him on a stretcher. The four of them, they lower him down in front of Jesus, where Jesus was. And one thing that caught my attention in that story ever since I've read it was not the miracle that Jesus did, was the four men that brought that Jesus. And you do know what Jesus said? Their faith has made him whole. You understand what I'm saying? And so, if you have a good friend, they will lead you to good things. If you have a terrible friend, they can lead that person to hell. There's this guy in our church, he used to come to our house. He went to secondary school, and when he finished, he used to go to university. But the parent doesn't have enough money to take him to a good private university. And so it's the way to go to government university. And that one, if you say 4 years, your 4 years can come to 5 or 6 years, depending on the number, or even more, depending on number of years or months they will use for strike in Nigeria. But he has a friend that came from a very wealthy home. This one is going to a private university. And the parent said he should go. He said he will not go until his friend goes there. Then I went to meet the parent that my son, and that's the only child, said he wants your child to go to this. They don't have money for such kind of school, no, that they are always saying no. They should not worry that the son has been crying in the house since that if his friend did not follow him to that school, if he will forfeit that admission, he won't go, and they can't afford for their son to go to government school. So they said they will sponsor. They said, you didn't get it. Even if you sponsor it, we don't have enough money to pay for accommodation. That's a don't worry, we also pay for the account. So that boy is in school right now, I think 300 level or so. Being sponsored by the parents of his friend. So that friend, is it not an asset that to him? But we have had other friends that they are in prisons, right, in the prison right now, because they were friends with wrong people. You understand? We've had people. I was here in Ghana, and I received a very troubling call that so person has died, that they saw her corpse by the roads. I screamed, I shouted. She was like a daughter to me. And I said, what happened? She had a friend, and that friend called her out of the house to come to his place. For whatever reason, they gave her something. She drank it, and the thing went the other way in her body, and they went to dump her body by the roadside, and they called the parents with a strange number that their body of their daughter is by the roadside. I think it's going to like 3 years now that girl has died. This girl, when they told me she's my namesake, the thing pepper me that. So eventually, our friend took her to death, probably to hellfire. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so your friend could be your asset, and it could be your liability. Secondly, I said that define every relationship, especially for the ladies. It is easy for guys to have friends with benefits. You understand? Girls to do have it. They won't define it. They just say it's my best, it's my friend, it's my this. And yet you are doing things that people that already in relationship are doing. You understand? Because it is not defined. Because I'm the one speaking. So obviously I can use myself as an example. I remember when I was in the polytechnic, before I gained admission to university, I had a friend, a male friend. And I thought we were friends. You understand? So I go out, I come in, and all of a sudden I realize that he has become too controlling over my life. That he wants to monitor virtually everywhere I go like he's my husband. And we were just friends. So one day, I remember where I was standing by the road. I said, what is it? Why are you controlling my life like this as though we are into relationship? Say, so me, I didn't know that we are already into relationship. I'm like, I felt insulted that we moved from friendship to relationship. And I did not even know. He did not even tell me. He never toasted me. He never asked me out. We just moved like that. You know, I said, so when did we move? As in, when did the friendship become relationship? And I said, in this time and age, do people still go through that those thinking? So that me, I didn't know. I felt like it worked on my entire. I said, okay, I am using this opportunity to break whatever relationship that you think has existed between me and you. Say, am I serious? As I have to break what if we did not start. You understand what I'm saying? And so friendship can move if you don't define it. And by defining it, move me to the next one. That you must build boundaries. So I say, choose your friends wisely. Define every relationship. Know your values. And have boundaries. You understand? If you don't have boundaries, friendship will metamorphose into something else before you realize it. And you'll be messed up. Amen. Are we still together? You must have boundaries and you must respect those boundaries. There are some boundaries that you must never break. Many people are in danger today, and many people will still be in danger because they have refused to build boundaries. One of the boundaries I built those times that there was no phone was that I don't go out when the outside is dark. You understand? By nature, I don't even see at night. You understand? When it comes to driving, I don't drive at night. So it becomes very difficult for me. And so it's very convenient for me to have that as one of my boundaries. That if the place is dark, I am not seeing the person that is coming. I won't go out. I don't go out at night. You understand? And so it's my boundary. Before you can kill me in the dark, you will try well. Oh, you understand? Because what will take me outside must be very grave. And so I have that as a boundary. And eventually when phone came, I told myself, I have a boundary that I don't receive calls from so time. I have that curfew on my phone. You understand? And up to now, you understand, I have another one. It's just recently, because my husband insisted that I pick unknown calls. I don't pick you if I did not save your number on my phone. Don't come and burn my time. I'm saying this. You understand what I'm saying? And so your boundaries should be defined by you, but it should be respected by you and by people that you call your friends too. You can have as many boundaries as you want to have. If you cannot respect your boundaries, it's because you don't have values in the first system. And you know, I said that you must have a value system you work with. And as Christians, as children of God, it is encouraged that your values must be based on the word of God. And if you don't have any value at all, have one value, that you must love everybody. You must respect everybody. You must be nice, kind to everybody. Those are values. When you see people that don't resonate on the same values with you, they can't gel with you. There was a time I saw one elderly woman trying to enter church, and I saw somebody that I thought should be considered a friend. I said, please help that woman. I said, no, he doesn't want to touch her. You are macho, you are big. This woman is aged, she's elderly, and she's trying to put the leg up. She cannot carry the thing, you understand, because that thing was hard. Just put this woman out. That day, I concluded within myself that this one does not have the morals that I'm looking for in a friend. So I can't call that kind of person my friend. Are we together? And so you must have some values. That do we have the same value? I had a friend, I've told you guys about her before, when I was doing my service. I loved her very well, but I realized that we are not really sharing the same values as far as relationship was concerned. I was already engaged and about to be married. Then she was supposed to be my best lady. Then she started telling me, this is the time when you siphon in. This time when you squeeze them dry. Those were the words she was actually. You squeeze them dry at this time. Because the moment you become their wife, they'll be in control. Now you are in control. Collect every dime in his account. Ensure that you by the time I do this, when I now enter, and I've already squeezed him dry, then what am I going to be milking after? She now said that her clutch, she has the clutch she will use to be my best lady, that she's using 3, and she has ordered for them from abroad. And even me, the bride, I did not order for one from her blood. I want to sew local. You are doing, I'm like, she said that my ring, I should do so carats gold. I should do this. I'm like, I cannot cope with this high taste. Her taste was too high. She said she's going to get me those coveted ladies, that they will do this, that we are going to kill them that day. We will slay everywhere. I'm like, hey. Did you know that close to that time, I never knew that she was such a slay queen. You understand? I thought we had the same value. Even though it was painful, I had to severe that relationship. Because my wedding was fast approaching, and she was misbehaving the way she was misbehaving. I started looking for another best lady in a hurry. And eventually, the one I got, she was a medical doctor. Unfortunately, she has the most fashion sense. She was wearing dotted black on my wedding day. But at least it's still better than the one that will push me into something that is not my own value system. You understand what I'm saying? And so I don't know how it's cut across board for you. Some people are not smokers. Some people are not. I remember when we were in school, there's this my girlfriend that came to my room. She said, hey, Titi, if you knew what happened to me today. I said, what? She said that this girl, she knew her from when they were in secondary school. She came and she just saw herself. She would sleep over in her room. And eventually, she said at night, she was putting her hand inside her clothes, that she didn't know that she had turned to a lesbian. You understand? And so, even when it comes to choosing friends, the people you think are your have been your friends before, if it has taken a while, it's possible they have imported another value system and they can easily rob it for you, because there's no one that can kill you faster than a very close friend. See, what enemies cannot get to do from outside, a friend will do it for you fast within a short time. Praise God. So have bad boundaries and respect it. And number five is that know when to walk away. My husband and I, we used to say something that everything in this world has expiry dates, including this world itself. We don't know the expiry date of this world, but God has said that this world is to melt away. By the time everything is done, heaven and earth is to be rolled away. So everything has expiry. It is not every friendship that you must stick with to the end of life. You understand? Some people, they are in your life for a period of time, and they have served their purpose. Don't let them overstay their welcome in your life. By the time you realize that things are beginning to shift, you to shift, move, you don't die there, you understand? There are some friendships that have expired. Don't force it. When you force it, you will hate yourself. You will regret it, you understand? Learn to walk away. There is this song that I used to sing, even though they call it the gambler song. You must know when to hold on, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. As you must know when to hold on, you must know when to fold, you must know when to walk away, and you must know when to run. You understand? There are times, for instance, there is this lady in my church over there. She's beautiful. I'm part of the workforce that time, but she was like a senior. You understand? She's always sitting in front. She has flawless skin and everything. Then from the blues, I didn't see her again. I didn't know where she has gone to. Then one day they told me somebody's at the gate looking for me. When I opened the gate, it was this lady. Oh, I was so happy to say that. Of all people, you choose to come and visit me in the house. I didn't know something else was cooking. Then she came in. Then she was beginning to tell me several things that I don't understand. I thought she was a kid. I didn't know that she has contacted another spirit. After that time, she's already going cuckoo. And pictures and name was already displayed on TV. She has become wanted. People were looking for her. I didn't know because I wasn't watching the news. And so she will be drawing things. She was telling me to draw those things too. That when I draw them, then I will enter into spirit. Sincerely, when I saw those drawings, they were coming alive. You understand? She would draw, she drew those things. And when you look from afar, you would think it's a drawing. But when you pay attention, it looks like that drawing will come alive. Like, they were receiving life. Then she would tell me to sit and look at a plain wall. And then she said that, what am I seeing? And I was not seeing anything. It was my room. The place was, I'm seeing Jesus. That Jesus is there, he's tall. He was wearing white. That if I concentrate, I will see. Not knowing that she was trying to initiate me. You understand? And what am I trying to say? That friend had expired. I didn't know. He took another crazy friend of mine, said, snap out of this rubbish, before we realized that she was actually wanted. And so the fact that he or she was good 2 years ago doesn't mean that they will still be good today. Some friendship expired. This guy, Amnon, did not know that this guy, Jonadab, he was no longer supposed to take his advice. You understand? But he took his advice because he himself has no value in himself. As in, if you are a man of value, you will not come down to the point of raping a girl, you understand? He eventually raped the half-sister and he chased her away. And Absalom behaved as though the thing did not touch him. He said, don't worry, your brother has had his way. 2 full years later, he organized a party and he begged the king. And so, why? Because a number of times, young people may think they are deceiving the elderly ones. But they are deceiving themselves. It was Amnon that deceived David first and told David that tell Tamar to come and cook for me as I am sick. He was sick to the point that when David visited, David too thought he was sick. You understand? And he was not sick. He was playing sickness. He was pretending to be sick. And in that said, Tamar should come and cook for him. And David played into his hands and Tamar went to cook. The same David was used by Absalom. Absalom said, please, permit Amnon to join me in my party that I have organized. And he has commanded his men that the moment you see that Amnon is fully drunk, hack him down, kill him, And they did just like he has instructed. And that was how one killed the other. Praise God. And so, Amnon did not know that listening to Jonadab will cost him his life 2 years later. And even when you look at it very well, it was because Tamar too was not well informed. That was why she eventually ended up being raped. Amen. And so I would like to close by letting us know that everybody needs friends. But there is no friend that can fill the void in your heart like the friend that has offered himself for us. John 15. We are closing there. Quickly go to John 15, 16. John 15, 16. Are you there? Thank you. See, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I was saying the other time that you choose your friend. Even Jesus Christ chose his friends. You understand? None of those 12 disciples chose Jesus. He chose them by himself. It does not matter if that person is the one leading in your class, like the one in Treasure's class right now. They are leading. But some of the things they do, I told you, you know, they can't be your friend. That what was this position? That second position. It's called a second position, but the things they say to teachers, the things they do, obviously shows that they can be good academically, but they are not good awesomely. You understand? And to be your friend, they have to be an awesome human being. And to be awesome, it boils down to the kind of values that they have. And I think it was John that was talking about your background. The background has a way of affecting people. You know, they were doing truth or dare or what have you in classes, and they went to tell teacher that, is it not fucky or something like that? They say, I'm sorry, ma, I have to do it. It wasn't me, but fuck you. I'm like, you did? Huh? Huh? Fuck you, I love you, or something like that. I'm like, you can dare say that one to a teacher? You are not afraid. And unfortunately, that teacher did not give him the beating of his life. If I were to be that teacher, you would not be able to do it again. That, hey, they told you to come and dare me, and you dare me. You won't dare me next time. But he said that one, at classes, it informed the kind of things that they have bagged before that time. You understand? And so, why am I laboring myself over this matter of friendship? Because as you are all seated here, we are products of the relationship that we are right now, or that we eventually have. You understand? Your friend can be the stepping stone to your success, and they can be the hindrance to your success at the same time. They can make and they can mar. And because every one of us, we need it, there is need for us to be careful who we call our friend. And if for whatever reason, as we are talking right now, if you don't have a reliable friend, you know, we have not talked about how to get good friends, we have not talked about how to invest into friends, but we are just talking about what you should know generally as far as friendship is concerned. If you don't have anyone, know that you already have one in Jesus Christ. Treasure, please go to that verse, I think verse 13 or 14 of it. Yes. John 15. That is that no one shows greater love than when a friend lay down his life for his friends. You understand? Jesus Christ himself offers himself as a friend to us. He said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Do you have any friend that can do this for you? That can say, okay, because I love Russell so much, I'm going to die for him? I don't think so. And even if you do, with what motive? You understand? But Jesus has already done this for us. He said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for your friend. So many friends are not ready to lay down their lives for you. They are actually looking for what they can get from you. And before I finish, let me quickly say this. There is no friend that is neutral in your life. It's either they are hardened to you or they are taken away from you. So wisdom demands that you check it well. What is this person hiding to me? Or what am I hiding? It's either they are hard taking your time away, taking your strength away, your energy away, or they are hiding something to you. When I was in the polytechnic, I had some friends around me at that time, and I was not so well informed. And they told me that for the course of study that we have chosen, that nobody will ever come out with upper credit. That's what they do. They either upper, lower credit or distinction. That nobody, that because for our course, it's a matter of words, you understand? That there's nothing you will say that it's your words against mine. So your lecturer will say that, oh, you have tried, but you cannot overdo it, you understand? So they said they're always leaving them in. So I was doing my best, writing exams, doing everything, but with the mindset that I've been told that I cannot come out with upper credit. So I was not working for upper credit. Eventually, when the result came, the final result, 11 people from my class had upper credit. For the past 5 years, nobody have had it, but 11 had it, and I was not part of the 11. And a number of them in those 11, they were asking me that what happened. They thought I should be part. Even me, I know I should be part, but I didn't work for it in papers because I felt like you can't impress them. That there's nothing you would do. They will bag it, they will peg it at that point. But it's a lie. It was the lie that I was fed with by my friends. All of us, nobody had that upper credit. And so the word of God says that he that works with the wise will be wise. But the companies of food, what will happen? They will be destroyed. And so you can, if you realize that this is my circle of friends, what they are aiming for is not the best. It's not excellence. Then you come out of that circle. Amen. So there is no greater law than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And so this is the friend of all time. I was singing the hymn this morning that what a friend we have in Jesus. All our cares. Do you know it? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what gifts we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry. You see, for everything you are looking for in friendship, everything. As a matter of fact, you cannot even get good friends when you don't have these babies. And so I told you that when I came here, I became almost vulnerable. You wouldn't know it, but I know there was a void in me. So at times I will come from my home and come and sit down here for hours. And I'm just talking in my heart to God. Just give me one good friend. Just until God told me that, am I not enough? Am I not enough for you? And that day, I felt like it was not enough. Because I felt like I needed somebody human, somebody physical, you understand? And until I am able to receive him, you understand? You will not be able to receive any other, you understand? Until you begin to prioritize him well. Even because when you are unable to get it right as far as friendship is concerned, let's not deceive ourselves. You will not get it right as far as relationship is concerned. And you will not get it right as far as marriage is concerned. You understand? Because all these sheep, we have friendship, we have courtship, we have relationship, they will eventually lead into marriage sheep if there is anything like that. But if you didn't get it right from the other sheep, you also not get it right in that one that God has done for us, which is called marriage. Amen. And so, and that you are married does not mean that you are completely okay in yourself, that you will not need friends again. But at every point in time, when you are short of what to do, short of who to rely on, know that we have that friend that has already laid down his life for us. He said it, you didn't choose him. He chose you. You understand? And he didn't just choose you. He chose you and he appointed so that he can bear fruit. So your fruitfulness, your success, your excellence is hinged on the fact that you are setting as your friend. He's the one that can lead you to physical friends. That really, really be, and it's the one that will take you away from friends that can bring damnation your way. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we are grateful again for your help. We thank you because you are a friend that doesn't fail. So many other friends, they disappoint, they betray. So many other friends, when you need them the most, they are not there. They can turn their back against you. They are also limited in themselves, but you are a trustworthy friend. You are always there. You are always faithful. We are sorry in different ways that we have neglected you. We have looked into another to fill us. But this morning, this afternoon, we come to you and we say, please receive us just as we are. Help us to understand that you are more than enough for us. And if for whatsoever reason you have entered into a wrong ship of friends, ask God to take you out of it. There is no time that is too late to start doing what is right. If you realize that this person you are parting with, this person you are moving with, will eventually move you into the dish, please come out of it. Ask God to help you. That I want to.